Episode 22 to Free to Play. It's March 4th, 2013. I'm Brian Belita. I'm joined by Mark Bradshaw.
Oh my God. Hi, it's Mark Bradshaw. How you doing?
Matt Pierce.
Hello.
And we're Khan.
Thank you. I am in your debt.
That was so slow and run.
I the only one who played Black Tiger this week?
No. I just didn't earn enough Zenny coins to get that.
At some point, you're just meeting so many different guys, and all of them are saying, thank you, I am in your debt.
They're like, all the same guy. What the fuck is up with that?
Number one, it was developed in 1983, so that's probably all the space they had for text back then.
That's true. So we're I guess, I don't know. Matt, did you get a chance to play it at all?
I did not.
We can wait till next week. We usually do that every 2 weeks anyway. Yeah.
But then I hope you enjoyed this teaser for our Literus Book Club edition for Capcom's Black Tiger. Hope you enjoyed Zenny coins. Right. So sorry, you dropped the Black Tiger joke there, Imran.
Yeah.
Aren't Zenny currency in some other Sega game too?
They're currency in almost every 80s arcade game.
Well, Capcom game.
Also Dragon Ball.
It's the 80s Bitcoin.
Except this probably has more value.
Except that probably has more value.
And more respectable.
Probably not used for drugs. Maybe.
Probably.
Certainly used for drugs.
Really, shouldn't a Bitcoin company just use Zenny? I mean, wouldn't you be more excited to...
Zenny coins?
Yeah, wouldn't you be way more excited to have a Zenny, like, mining rig? I'd fucking do that.
So just call it, like, gold or something.
Zennycoins.com does not exist, nor does Zenny coin.
You guys want to create an economy?
I think let's create an economy, guys, based around coins you receive from bearded gentlemen.
Let's see, I think you can get the Zennies from Black Tiger. You can get it from Forgotten Worlds. I can't remember what the first example of the Zenny was. It might actually been Black Tiger, though.
Yeah. Well, anyways, that's Black Tiger. Yeah. So, but in other non-Capcom related news, I guess SimCity.
What about SimCity? I haven't been interested in SimCity because SimCity doesn't interest me since it's being produced by EA.
So I have a couple of friends that, you know, shut around emails just amongst ourselves, you know, saying, oh, it's SimCity, you know, looking forward to it. And my brother sent out an email saying, oh, I saw this one thing from one longtime fan who said he wasn't impressed. Think Alien Colonial Marines, which I thought was
That's extreme.
Harsh. And I think I said a longtime fan of a series is probably the wrong person to ask an opinion on a game.
I think Jeff Gerstmann was tweeting today about how aggravated he was at the game.
Do they have complaints? Have you heard anything?
He said the multiplayer stuff, just there's no reason for it. It's a bad justification for the always online stuff.
Right.
Because if it doesn't work, then you just can't play.
Yeah. So that's the thing. I mean, everyone that I guess that I've been seeing that has kind of played the beta or, you know, whatever they were running, has really enjoyed it. Like all the Idle Thumbs guys seem to be really enjoying it. You know, but then you hear some other things. Like I guess Jeff Gerstmann literally threw out his mouse and said fuck.
That's kind of disappointing because you see all the advancements Firaxis made with Civ 5.
There's so much. But specifically for SimCity, there's like so much shit going on behind the scenes. That's kind of crazy. But sorry, I'd go on.
No, that was my entire point. It's just disappointing when you see what Firaxis has done. Yeah. And then apparently, who's doing this? It's not Sid Meier doing this now, is it? It's still
Maxis.
His group?
It's Maxis. Maxis.
Yeah, I don't know if he's still behind it or not. But it's disappointing that apparently they couldn't make those same advancements.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess the biggest complaint that I've seen, and there's a bit of a hullabaloo today.
Hullabaloo.
When Polygon put out the review of SimCity and had a little bit about Always Online.
They say, like, it works all the time, except for the times when it doesn't work.
Right, it said when it worked, it was seamless.
Yeah, and there's a lot of apologizing. Oh, well, my router isn't very good, so I bought a new router and everything was okay. It's like, that sounds reasonable.
Right.
See, but if you say when it works, it's seamless, that means there are seams.
Yeah.
But it's like saying this is one solid piece of paper, except when it's torn.
So this is an EA game, and I guess it requires Origin, but Origin isn't the only place you can buy it? A little confused by that.
Yeah, I'm confused by that. Like, it needs a connection to an Origin server, but that doesn't tell you whether you need to have an Origin account and sign in.
Yeah.
Like, does it just need to be able to reach a server, or do you need to sign in with an actual account to use it?
Yeah, that's what I was confused on as well. But either way, so it requires a connection to EA's or Origin servers or whatever in order to play. And I guess if you lose the connection, it just kind of boots you out of the game.
Wasn't this the exact same thing that Ubisoft tried and yes. they eventually realized this was dumb and costing us money?
Yes, I lost like 2.5 hours of progress because that happened to me playing, I think, Assassin's Creed 2. And that's when I just threw up my hands and just looked up the ending on YouTube. DRM, I think, maybe has its place to a certain extent and has kind of always been around. I mean, to the point of, you know, you buy a game and it, you know, when you start up the game, it asks you to pick the 6th word on the 5th page of the manual that you got.
Sure. And this is nowhere near that bad. But I think at some point they need to take a look at the math and say, you know, is it worth pissing off 10 legitimate customers who will never buy your product again to catch that one thief? You know, it, surely that
well,
doesn't work out.
You're not
right.
going to catch the one thief, though.
No,
the
you're
one
not.
Thief
yeah,
is going to
get
crack
around it.
Yeah.
With the help of all his thief buddies.
DRM has its place, but I mean, like, I guess the game launches tomorrow or maybe tonight at midnight. I mean, when this game first launches, those servers are going to get hammered yep. and nobody's going to be able to play.
And plus, you have to trust EA to keep that server alive for over a year, and you can't. At some point, they're going to say, well, we don't think it's right for you guys to keep mooching off this free game you bought a year ago, so we're just going to turn off the server, go ahead and buy it again. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly going to be their mentality. Like, you guys have been mooching for too long. Give us more money.
I think what kills me is that this could be done in a way that's not really crazy. Like, you could have it, if it tries to connect for 7 days in a row and can't connect, then maybe it should kick you out of the game.
Well,
but if
how does
it
Steam
a
do
connection
it?
Once, just let it. Just
Steam
let it
just lets you play offline. If it can't connect to the Steam servers, whatever games you have installed, obviously, at the time. I mean, you can't download anything new, but whatever you have installed in Steam at the time, you can
yes.
play.
Steam,
no, that they are kind
of install. That's it.
They're sort of glitchy about that because I forget how exactly it works, but there's a thing that if you don't sign off on your own occasionally and you just like restart the system or your computer crashes or whatever, it doesn't recognize that you ever signed off. So you can't go offline and play games then. So if you're disconnected for whatever reason, like for so your offline mode won't work.
I don't know
if they fixed that.
Run into it. That's odd. Yeah.
They may have fixed it recently, but like as of like 6 months ago, I think that was the problem.
Yeah.
Well, that's just a glitch. That's not intrusive DRM.
Yeah.
That's just bad programming.
That's one of those things you need to fix if you're going to claim that you have a leg up in that.
Yeah.
Because a moral leg up is not that much better than a practical leg up.
See, but there's kind of a difference between Steam just screwing it up while having a good idea and EA having a terrible idea and seeing it through.
Well, and it's a real shame because this new SimCity looks fantastic, and a lot of people love the SimCity franchise. And this, I mean, it looks like a great game, and for this one thing to kind of, you know, become bigger than the part of it actually plays and kind of taint the game so much is just really terrible. When it's something that was probably, you know, kind of contracted in or whatever by EA or.
I'll be honest, I don't really get SimCity. Like, I understand the mechanics, but every time I sit down to play the game, I'm like, this is fun for like 20 minutes, and then I'm kind of out of it.
I'm the same way. I played.
You don't want to be that guy that plays the same SimCity city for like, what did he do, like 75 years? Well, okay, not 75 years, but he played the same city for like 20 years or something like that.
There was a guy who did that with Civ, I know that.
Yeah,
there was a guy who's
been
playing Civ for
like 20
years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was that guy who speed ran the SNES game on that, well, kind of forgot their names. The speedrunner stream.
Yeah.
Oh right, the speed demos archive.
Yeah, those guys, and like he would set up something so it worked perfectly. Then he would speed demo or speed run another game while he was waiting for SimCity to finish up.
Yeah.
Which is kind of my feelings on SimCity. It's like I could just be playing something else.
Well, I mean, I think it's the same allure as anything that allows for much user generated, well, not user generated content, but user customization. I don't know what the word. I mean, the same appeal as Minecraft. You know, you build your own. You know, your own building. You can build your own city, and you can attempt to put a power plant smack dab in the middle of a residential zone, and see what happens. stuff.
The few times I've tried to play like this, any of the Sims games, like things would go so horribly out of hand, and everything would be on fire, and you wouldn't know why it was going bad, and I'd just feel depressed and panicked and shut it down and never like put those poor people through that horrific experience again.
Well, yeah. See, I'm the opposite way. At some point, I get so bored of just a regular game. Whatever Sim game it is, I try my best to just kill everybody.
See, my problem with games like that is that the game itself, it takes too long for you to screw it up over and over enough to figure out what you're doing.
Yeah. It's hard to learn anything, you're right.
Yeah, it's hard to like play enough games to get into a rhythm when each game takes hours and hours and hours.
And there could be like one little thing you're not doing right that's completely screwing over your optimization, and you'll probably never even see it. And I don't know. I've never played a Sim game long enough to see what happens. But let's say it's like 30 years into the game, and you still don't have running water. And you're like, oh, well, this is perfectly normal. I guess everybody's dying of dysentery. But this is the way things were in the early 1900s of America, even though it is the year 2063.
Simant
was badass.
Yeah, Simant was badass.
Because you can get in fights.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it needs.
That's what SimCity needs, fights.
Maybe if you zoom down far enough and it's like DC superheroes down fighting at the bottom.
Well, what if they did this? They combined SimCity with Final Fight. Not like the actual game mechanics. I mean the licenses. You're Mike Hagger.
Yeah, I could do that. Yeah, and you can't like go down to the streets and like beat people up anymore because you're corporate. So the best you can do is like try to regulate crime.
Yeah.
I can do that, yeah. I'll play that game.
SimCity, where one person can be building the city and the other person is playing Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, that's another way to do it, yeah.
Yeah, I actually like that idea.
It's probably cool.
Smart glass, do your thing.
Glass, Google search, horse sex, safe search, off. Sorry. But what's funny is, we've got the Polygon review, and they gave it like a 9.5, which, I don't know.
About a 10.
I think it's fine, it's nearly but there's perfect. The whole server thing. Yeah. But then there's the little write-up on the Penny Arcade Report by Ben Kuchera, which pretty much says the opposite of Polygon. This is why you shouldn't trust our SimCity review, and they talk about EA wanting to bring all reviewers over to their offices to play SimCity on their machines under their supervision.
So it sounds like you wouldn't be able to get like a good idea of how good the network is.
Right. Well, but then and apparently, and I can't remember, I think I may have read this in one of the comments on one of the articles. So I guess part of the kind of, the social aspect of this new SimCity is that you can have neighboring friends that, run neighboring towns. So like you can have, or cities, you can have somebody who runs maybe an industry heavy zone and you can get power from them. But apparently that person can just kind of like, if that person just leaves, you're just kind of stuck.
See, this is only really an interesting idea if you can run like evil cities and you have to worry about the evil city your friend is running next door and protecting your people from that. I think that'd be nice, but I think, it's probably just another city. There's Chicago and New York City, and it's like, well, how are you guys doing over there? I'm not really sure how this is interesting at all.
Oh, okay, here we go. There's a way between us. So it was a comment by Stephen Totillo.
Torita?
I want to pronounce it like tortilla, but anyways.
Torino? Like the car? Torino?
So I guess he was playing with one of his friends' neighbor, and his neighbor destroyed his city, therefore ruining Stephen Totillo's city.
So it's like Detroit, just destroying like the American Midwest. Okay.
Right, exactly. So there's a way where like it'll clear out the neighboring city if the person completely abandons it, but if they don't completely, like if they don't actually abandon the city, it just kind of sits around and crumbles and kind of goes to shit, and I don't know, other players can take over. I don't know, it seemed a really weird thing, but I don't remember why I was bringing that up. But yeah, so there's a weird dichotomy between Polygon's review and Penny Arcade Report, so there's a lot of different things
The sad part about that, just speaking larger about the reviews, you had never known that happened if Ben Kuchera didn't say it, or if maybe like the guys at the Giant Bomb Crew mentioned something about it in passing during their podcast. It's like, how often does this happen? I imagine it happens constantly, and we just don't know about it.
Yeah. Honestly, though, in the end, I think it's probably a really good game. It's the new SimCity, and it probably fits that boot very well. But if you want to play it, just, I don't know, wait like a week to buy it, because the servers are probably going to be all in a clusterfuck for the next week.
Yeah, you're going to be waiting a week anyway, yeah. So...
Yeah, so that's what I think. I think it's probably a perfectly fine game. Yeah, there's the always-on DRM thing. If you have a shitty router, I don't know, whatever. But I think it'll probably be fine in the end.
So that's our official review. We think it'll probably be fine.
Yes. Since
it may be.
When it was perfectly fine, it was perfectly fine. I'm just wondering what the epic music in the background was. Just
I'm sorry. The Undertaker just appeared on Raw. So.
So cool. Yeah. So that's SimCity.
So speaking of EA, they had an investor conference this week where they said that going forward, they expect all their games to have microtransactions like Dead Space.
There was that.
And apparently, if we don't like it, then we can just not buy their games, which actually works out pretty well, because I decided I'm not going to buy any more EA games.
Well, so now you bring that up, Mark, because that's something that Cliff Bleszinski said.
Just say B. Just say Cliffy B.
Cliffy B. Okay. Yeah, I was trying to be a little professional. Fuck.
Yeah. Then he like appeared in the Gaff thread for it and like got weirdly like.
A Gaff thread about EA microtransactions.
No, about him, his response, like his blog post about it.
His incredibly anti-consumerist post.
The weird thing is like, you watched him post and it was like a football player dunking a nerd into a toilet.
Oh, really?
Hmm.
Did he mention his car and the fact that he was going to have sex with his incredibly hot girlfriend afterwards or?
Stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, you'd say, like, I bet you philosophy majors are looking for work now, or do you fuckers even play games, or do you just sit here playing fantasy football all day?
No, that's great. That's
actually a pretty legitimate point to make. There are a lot of people who spend a lot of time talking about how they could do it better and then never do it better.
It's all just been, like, joking, but, you don't really get that, except that maybe there's emoticons which come off more like smug than funny.
And I think he would have a little more legitimacy if he were saying these things if he were still like head of a company and was actually worried about taking care of its customers, which he's not anymore because he cashed out. It's not like he ever has to worry about this again. So he can talk shit all he wants.
Well, I think regardless of where he is right now, he has been where he has been. So I don't think the fact that he's not right now makes his opinion any less valid.
I think the whole, they're a company, they need to make money bullshit is like such a terrible argument because at the end of the day, I'm a consumer and I need to keep my money.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's a terrible argument if you're trying to defend just bad business practices or, you know, consumer non-friendly practices.
The root of that argument is always... Please stop talking about this. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Which is just, I mean, I'll complain all I want. Fuck you.
Yeah. No, but it's pretty shitty to say that.
Things, though. Like, you're arguing that these are bad business practices that anger the players. And they're arguing that they need to make money.
But the middlemen are arguing that, you know, vote with your wallet. If you don't like this, they'll stop doing it. But I can vote with my wallet and also keep complaining about it forever.
Well, and also voting with wallet isn't really going to work because Cliffy B and everyone else in the industry knows that geeks can't say no to this. It's a consumerist culture.
Well, we can't say no to the concept of day one DLC if everybody in the industry does day one DLC.
Yeah.
Because then you just have to stop playing video games.
Yeah.
But then, like, there's times where gamers actually do not buy things they don't like. Like, take DMC, for example. Nobody bought that.
Yeah, and, we decided we weren't going to buy that.
And reviewers always say, vote with your wallet. Or journalists always say, vote with your wallet. If you don't want it, don't buy it. Then nobody bought it. And some guy, I think it was from MCV, just lost his shit. It's like, what? You guys don't deserve good games if you're going to turn this one down.
I think that the problem with the whole voting with your wallet thing is that, okay, yeah, let's say that everybody who, you know, maybe is like us or listening to this right now, people who, you know, actually kind of enjoy reading maybe about the industry or what's going on. Let's say we organize everybody and nobody bought, you know, Game X. There's still plenty of people, you know, who aren't in that kind of subset of people, of us people, who are going to go out and just buy the game because, you know, they saw an ad for it. And they're like, ah, oh, fuck yeah, Joe Gamer, let's buy this. And, you know, so even voting
the uneducated consumer, yeah.
I mean, yes, I guess it's, you still, you know, maybe put a dent in it, but I don't think there are enough people that would be able to organize like that.
I'd be really curious what Dead Space 3's, not the actual sale numbers, but the microtransaction numbers were.
That would be really interesting to see.
Like, how many people bought those, like, robot time doublers or whatever?
Right.
And unless they actually turn out to be really good, we'll never hear about them. If they're, below average or just average, we'll never, ever hear about them because they don't want to make that look weak.
There's plenty of day one DLC that we don't complain about, like special costumes.
Sure.
I complain about them. Like, I'm buying Naruto later this week, and there's a costume that if you didn't pre-order, you don't get it.
Yeah. Well, that's different. That's a lockout. But if that costume was available to everyone if they wanted to pay for it...
Well, I'm sure they're going to do that, too, later.
That's not worth complaining about. But if it's a multiplayer game and everybody who paid extra money gets double XP, that's kind of bullshit.
Did you not hear what they're doing with Gears of War Judgment?
Oh, I know. There's tons of games that do this. But, yeah. I mean... My problem with what Cliffy B is pointing out is that we're not complaining about the concept that we're paying money for DLC. It's that you have to pay money for DLC to keep up with the other online players.
Right. See, the idea of good DLC is like the argument about porn. I don't know what it is, but when I see it, I can tell you right there.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't define good DLC for you, but I can. When I see bad DLC, I know that.
Yeah.
Well, it's easy to look at good DLC because the one of the few people who could do this right is Bethesda. They'll release a game, a full game for $60. You can't sit there and say like Fallout 3 or New Vegas were cut down games for
$60. Well, no,
when they first began,
Skyrim, I remember I was always like, you know, if there's a game that I am going to drop $60 on, if me, Brian, I hate $60 PC games, Belita, is going to buy a $60 PC game, then Skyrim is probably going to be it because I'm going to get a lot of bang for my buck.
Right, and then they just keep releasing regular content updates. And like, if you're willing to like sell me like 2 or 3 hours of content for like $4 or $5, yeah, I'll do that as long as you sell me a $60 game that's complete out of the box.
That is complete out of the box, exactly. Yeah.
Racing games do this well because you can buy cars and then you don't need them to complete the game.
Right.
They don't confer any special benefits.
Right. But you can use them in
like the rear wheel drive race because you can download some cars that also meet those criteria. Yeah. It can add to the game that you're playing, but it's not necessary to complete the game.
Well, you're congratulating Bethesda on this, and they were the progenitors of like the really bad DLC.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the sad thing about that is apparently horse armor worked out really well for them.
Yeah. It still sells like 50 units a week now.
That's crazy.
But does horse armor do anything?
No.
No, then it just makes your horse look different.
Yeah. If people are willing to pay money because they want something to look different,
right?
More power to them.
And that was our first attempt to come to grasp with that, like Imran said. That was the first real thing where like it was just an appearance thing, but the audacity of charging like the $5 or $2.50, whatever it was, just blew people's minds. And now it's happening all the time.
There's also a problem with charging too much for DLC.
Well, we need to ban that sort of thing like the same way we ban smoking at gas stations. If someone's dumb enough to set themselves on fire, okay, whatever. But we don't do that because they could also hurt me.
Right.
Yeah,
and like I feel like them making terrible decisions with their money just gives publishers ideas that they don't need to have.
Exactly. I mean, and that's the same thing with even if we organize all of you know our kind of little base here, us you know on the free to play and anybody listening to this, there's still other people who are going to go out and buy it
and you're going to be locked out of. You're going to be at a competitive disadvantage in Call of Duty or Dead Space 3 or whatever.
Right. That's the stupid decision you have to stop publishers from making. The competitive disadvantage.
Yeah.
The aesthetics. Paying money for silly aesthetics. That's cool. You know.
Charge
whatever you want for horse armor or like a special hat or whatever. I don't care. You know, if somebody wants it, they'll pay money for it, and that's cool. But if it makes the game worse for other players by giving that player a huge benefit,
exactly,
that's kind of crappy.
Well, and that's what I've always said. There were a couple people on Twitter recently talking about, you know, models for free-to-play games. There are a number, you know, things where, you know, you get the game for free, and then you can, you know, you buy an extra power or extra maps, whatever. But my mentality has always been the sure charge for aesthetics, especially if it's some sort of competitive multiplayer game, you know, online, asynchronous, whatever. People enjoy being unique. People enjoy being different. And everybody else who just wants to, you know, play for free, or even if it's, you know, like a 99 cent game, whatever, even if it's a pay for game, those people don't feel ripped off.
Yeah. And to some extent, I think like to be that the uniqueness of your character is directly tied to your enjoyment of the game. And that necessarily should not be something that, you know, you monetize.
Well, I mean, like in, you know, Team Fortress, you know, there's plenty of stuff that you can still get. I'm not saying any aesthetic. I'm saying, you know, certain extra ones maybe that you want, because of course you want to be able to customize yourself a little bit, but you know, if you want,
then where do you draw the line?
If you want the horse armor hat, you know, then, you know, sure.
You draw the line at where it starts to piss people off.
Yeah, I mean, where do you draw the line on what you monetize and what you don't?
Again, where it starts to piss people off, when it starts to hurt your bottom line, you've got to stop.
Well, that's the kind of the crux of the argument with EA, is that you can't trust EA to know where that line is. You have to assume EA, being the predatory, amoral company it is, they're always going to be against us. They're always going to be at odds with us, and any decision they make is going to have not going to have our best interest at heart.
Well,
and that's essentially why people are having a problem with what Cliffy B was saying. Of course, there's good DLC.
They're not. It's not like they're our enemy or anything. It's not like this is a scenario where there are enemies. They're trying to make money. Yeah. We're trying to play video games.
Yeah, but they're making video games at a point where it's detrimental to our experience. I mean, I don't know exactly what happened at BioWare, but it sure does seem like they fell off the map after they got bought by the EA. And you keep hearing about these stories about EA forcing multiplayer into games, and the games wind up worse for the wear. You can take a look at Dead Space 3. You can take a look at Mass Effect 3, and apparently at the new SimCity.
So Dead Space 3 have multiplayer?
Dead Space 3? Yeah.
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 Like Versus? I know it has co-op, obviously.
Yeah. Okay. I thought you were talking about like the Versus stuff that they had Dead Space 2.
Any kind of multiplayer like that, where they just shove multiplayer in there.
Yeah, but then again, you like Dead Space 2.
Yeah,
that was the definition of shoving multiplayer in there.
Yeah, I don't know how that worked. I honestly don't. Apparently, there's a way you can make it work. Like Mass Effect 2 still worked, even though it was bought out by EA at that point in time. Apparently, there's a way to make it work, but more often than not, EA is going to fuck you over, and we have evidence of this. EA is, you know, yeah, they're kind of our enemy. They kind of are the bad guy in here.
I think they fuck you over as far as they can conceivably go, but they're capable of being pushed back.
Yeah, by the time they get to the point that they're alienating their customers, then they're hurting themselves.
Yeah.
Right. And having annoying DLC that's not necessary isn't really annoying customers that much. But if they get to the point where they're trying to lock down their game so that you can't buy used,
if the game is
not fun until you pay extra money. Like,
yeah, that's what I think how this is going to eventually shake out, and that's what's going to cause people to stop buying the games.
Yeah.
Like apparently Dead Space 3's resource mechanic, or whatever that was, resource management, that was designed, and then they put the microtransaction stuff on top of that. When they actually do have to design a game that they know is going to have microtransactions as part of the fundamental concept, if they make it so it's harder to do without paying that stuff, like it's untenable if you don't pay money, when it's going
One of the free-to-play models that on a lot of iOS games, like Punch Quest, which I've talked about before, and Jetpack Joyride, which is another big one, is, you know, while you're playing the game, you get a certain number of tokens, and you can spend these tokens to unlock certain things, you know, certain powers or, you know, certain things that you actually kind of need to progress in the game, maybe even. And you can earn them in-game at usually an excruciatingly slow rate, or you can spend 99 cents to get, you know, a pack of 1,000 or $3 to get, you know, 4,000 or something like that.
I pay maybe $1. I got Jetpack Joyride for free, but
yeah,
you could pay like $1 or something for those games, and it's okay if you want to spend a little bit more on a coin doubler or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. But if you're paying $60 for Dead Space 4.
Exactly. If you're doing that, and then on top of that, you have to spend money to not feel like you are just trudging and grinding to get the stuff you need to progress in the game, then that's kind of bad.
See, when it becomes so obvious that you go home after spending $60 on a game, and then it immediately turns around and asks you for more money to keep playing.
Yeah.
That's when people will bring that right back to the store.
And Cliffy B tries to make the point where, like, oh, this is just the arcade experience just brought back. They did this years ago, just pumping quarters in machines. And that's fine, but you walked into the door with a roll of quarters and you bought into that experience. But like you said, I'm paying $60. I've actually paid you enough money because I just gave you $60.
Yeah.
If you can't make a profit off of $60, then that's your problem, not mine.
The arcade experience is designed to fuck you over. Like, we were talking about Black Tiger earlier.
Yeah.
That game's difficult, and it's kind of shitty difficult.
Yeah.
Because, like, there will be monsters that throw fire at you from nowhere.
Yeah. You have to memorize it, and the only way you can memorize it is to keep pumping quarters into it.
Yeah.
But you didn't pay $60 to walk into the arcade.
And that's what we're afraid of people are going to do with microtransactions. They're going to make it difficult for you to not pay.
Right. I didn't spend, you know, however many $1,000 to buy the Black Tiger arcade cabinet, and then... Oh, fuck, I gotta keep putting quarters in.
Well, presumably you can get those quarters out if you bought the cabinet.
Well, but what if...
What if you lost the key? You're screwed.
The quarter on a string trick.
The other thing, I don't know if we really have time to go keep going into this thing, but the other half of what Cliffy B was saying, and I think when he said this, Chris Kohler actually doubled down in physical pain, but he mentioned that if people only bought used games, then no one would ever be able to sell new games. So our solution to the whole EA thing, to the whole you guys are charging us too much money and we don't like the EOC. Our solution to that is actually, well, I'm just going to wait till it's $30. I'm going to wait 6 months till it's $30 at GameStop, if you don't mind. Right. If that's cool. Now he's saying, oh, that's not an option either. You have to pay the $60 and go to hell if you don't play the $60.
Right.
Well, no. Also, the big, huge logical fallacy, because if everybody bought used games,
yeah,
there would be no more used games. Because if no one bought new games, you could never have them be used. Like,
see, if everybody just bought used games, what they do is they just move on to PC and start making games like Mark of the Ninja and shit like that can't be bought used.
Right. And it also costs like $15, which honestly is maybe where this is heading. If we have to go back to simpler design games without all the posh, without the polish, without all the insane bullshit that goes onto it, and the only way to sell big profit is sell those for $15, if that's the direction we have to go and we still wind up with games like Mark of the Ninja, okay, fine.
I'm okay with that. Well, especially now, and I'm sure Matt will agree, well, might agree with me, you know, with, you know, being a new dad and I don't have as much time to just dick around and play video games, I'm okay with lower price and kind of either a shorter game or a game that is just kind of, you know, quirky as you know, replayability, or I can just pick up and play like Runner 2 from BitTrip, or BitTrip Runner 2.
You know what's actually weird about that? I'm still okay with the $50 to $60 price point if it's a game I really, really want to play.
Yeah,
sure. But now I'm more okay with that being a short game. Like, I'm more okay with that because I don't have $60 to throw into a game.
Yeah.
You know, I'm willing to play through that experience once, get 25 hours out of it, and be totally okay with that.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of people had that same issue with Metal Gear Solid Rising. We're saying, oh my God, we're paying $60, only getting like a 7 hour long game. It's like, if it's 7 hours long and
the great length.
Yeah, if you're 7 hours long and like you're still wanting more, that actually sounds pretty good. Because a big problem with most games is they like just like draw everything out.
You know? That's
not a genre that really applies to it though, because I mean, I've played Rising through 3 times now.
Yeah.
So that's a game you're supposed to replay.
Right.
Yeah. All I got to say is with the amazing cinematic quality that people are putting into games these days compared to, you know, last generation. Yeah, go ask Hollywood how much money it would cost to make a 3D animated film that's 7 hours long.
Right. Tickets would cost $60 each. Yeah.
I think somebody was throwing, I don't know how accurate these numbers were, but somebody was saying it would take $150,000 to make like a second of a Miyazaki movie.
Yeah, it's about right. That sounds not unreasonable.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, because his movies are what, 75 to an hour or to 90 minutes?
Probably.
Yeah.
And it would make sense, but you spend that much money just making that little amount of time. And I guess it came up because the Skullgirls people said that it takes $150,000 to make one character.
That was really cool, the way they broke it down into all the different costs that go into making a character.
Though hilariously, they Kickstarted or Indiegogo'd it. I don't know what the verb is for that site. But they promised a Valve hat for TF2, but they never really asked Valve.
I see that a lot, especially with Kickstarted games. It's, you know, that they'll you know, say available on Steam when we get greenlit. And there's no guarantee for that. There's no guarantee that, you know, that they'll make it there.
Yeah, Valve rejected the hat idea, so.
Yeah, it's that said, I did see something the other day that was somebody saying, like, you know, Kentucky Route Zero is now on Steam, or as a lot many people know it, available on PC for the first time. You know, when you could buy it, you know, directly from them or through the Humble Store, or whatever, which is kind of true.
I'm actually interested in Trackmania now that it's on Steam, even though it launches up a totally different launcher when you launch the game.
And I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of kind of having Steam vision. Although I've kind of gone out, like, you know, I recommended if you buy Don't Starve, buy it right from them. You get a Steam key and the Chrome version. Kentucky Route Zero, I bought straight from them as well, which I guess was actually through the Humble Store. So I'm, you know, I'm kind of spanning out and trying to play some games that maybe aren't just on Steam. Because sometimes, like I said, I just get Steam vision. It's like, oh, it's not on Steam? Fuck it!
Well, it's weird because I go to Amazon and, you know, I have access to Amazon books. I also have access to Playbooks. And I actually want to buy the Amazon books because I want my stuff to just be there and Amazon to be able to tell me what else I can get.
Right,
I think Steam kind of has that same thing. I just want to be on Steam.
Well, no. It's
just
nice
one place. I have to worry about
that library in one place. That is true. Yeah.
It's entirely, hey, look at my great big library. This is kind of cool, but the...
Yeah, so. but like if I can buy a game directly from someone and then, you know, get a key for Steam, then I'll do that. Or like I said, or if it's a game I really want that maybe just isn't on Steam and looks really neat, then that's my only option. So I'm not just going to sit around and wait for it to, you know, appear on Steam.
All right. Break.
Break. We're back. Whatever. We're back.
We're back. Whatever.
What?
So did somebody feed the Assassin's Creed franchise after midnight?
Because it became a gremlin? What?
Wait, can we go back to my joke? Can we go back to my joke?
No, we can't go back to your joke. No, the joke is that when
we have to go back.
We have to go back. The joke is that, you know, when you feed the gremlins after midnight, it, you know, it starts popping out other gremlins, like, just uncontrollably. So... The joke is that somebody fed the Assassin's Creed franchise after midnight. Now they're just pumping out Assassin's Creed games every year.
I haven't seen Gremlins since I was like 10. I remember Gizmo was cute and you're not supposed to feed him after midnight.
Exactly. So you know half the joke.
Kind of. It just turned into one of the green things.
So when is Assassin's Creed 4 Pirate Edition coming out? Did they slate a date?
October.
Usual Assassin's Creed date, like when Assassin's Creed not 3 was supposed to come out, with which clearly this thing was supposed to be to begin with.
And when did Assassin's Creed 3 come out?
October.
October. Fucking hell.
It's become an annual series.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been an annual series for a number of years.
No. I know. It's just that they continue to do it is sort of amazing. But this one's in
pirate
times. That
they continue to make Assassin's Creed games without cities is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's not a whole, like... There isn't a whole lot they can do at this point with regard to cities.
I think people have been shouting French Revolution for years now.
Yeah, but then they have to design a whole new city, which they can't do in a year.
But they can make boats.
Well, that's the way it was clearly supposed to be, Assassin's Creed 3, Black Flag. And it's clearly supposed to use the same guy. I don't think it's the same guy.
Assassin's
Creed. It's not. It's not. Oh, you mean Kellum in general, or
yeah? That's what I assume. Back when this thing was still Assassin's Creed 3: Black Flag, that was going to be the same guy and not a new guy.
I think this is going to end up having a bunch of the stuff that was cut out of 3, because apparently there was a lot of story cut out.
I disagree with your that it was supposed to be Connor, because there's no way they knew from the beginning that Connor doesn't fly, because they announced way back then that the next year's game would not have Connor.
So Connor winds up being Altair, but Altair actually had more than one game, I guess. So that's kind of sad for Connor.
Yeah. I mean, he was a pretty boring character, so.
I was after seeing this title, Assassin's Creed 4 : Black Flag, I was really hoping to see Henry Rollins in some aspect on the cover. But alas, you cannot walk around murdering people with your intellect and giant muscles.
Also, you do the soundtrack.
Also, your screaming voice. That would be cool.
I think they're trying to tap into Pirates of the Caribbean, which is like a couple of years late, but
right.
Whatever. If they do it right, then that's fine with me.
That's kind of late for like Pirates of the Caribbean. Pirates of the Caribbean was kind of late to the whole pirates thing to begin with. So this thing is actually like two memes behind. I'm surprised there isn't like ninjas or zombies involved in this somehow, which I'm sure there should be.
So I'm looking at.
So yeah, here's my question for this game: who the hell are they putting in the Animus?
So I'm going to explain this to you, and you're going to immediately think this is incredibly dumb, but let me just state for the record, it's going to actually be dumber than it sounds.
Cool.
Hey, if it's dumb, it fits.
It's an Abstergo employee doing research for an Assassin's Creed video game.
Why?
I'm just surmising this, but it makes sense. I think the research they're doing is for Assassin's Creed Liberation, the Vita game that came out last year.
What the fuck? What the fuckity fuck?
Because that's an actual video game that you're playing as somebody experiencing the Animus.
So you're playing a video game while playing... God, that's meta. I kind of like that. That's not a bad idea if it wasn't for the fact that you're going to handle it stupidly. And
My son clearly does not approve of this, Ron.
I don't think there's any way to not handle it stupidly. I think it's inherent. Like, if you just hear the description, you're like, okay, that's kind of stupid mind-blowy.
Do you guys mind having Assassin's Creed 3 spoiled to death?
I don't.
I know.
I think we've already talked about that. Yeah, like,
did we already talk about?
We've talked about the ending before.
So okay, spoilers for people listening.
Hold on, let me timestamp this.
Put a little beep right here. Put a beep. Beep.
Yeah.
Nothing is true. Everything is permitted.
Okay. So, spoilers for people listening. Desmond dies. He sacrifices himself at the end of the game. That is the whole purpose of him sacrificing himself, that it's supposed to be this noble sacrifice. My prediction is they're just going to have him get the fuck back up and just be like, oh, I guess I didn't die.
Or maybe like he wakes up.
I only killed myself in my dream.
It's like, I'm almost dead.
No, he has his sacrifice, and then the guy who's been playing as Desmond the whole time wakes up. And it's like, you've been playing a video game of a video game!
So this is, like, Desmond's life was all in the Animus for his future offspring that don't exist.
Yeah.
My bet is he had a son somewhere, and then his father finds the son, puts him in the Animus to find an assassin's secret that would revive Desmond.
Was anyone really invested in Desmond? Do we have to keep him alive? Because
there are some people that really like the sci-fi shit of Assassin's Creed. These people are terrible, and they probably watch Big Bang Theory.
Probably,
but they exist.
You have to keep Desmond alive if your next character is gonna be another one of Connor's descendants or Haytham's descendants.
I mean, he could have a kid, and they just never talk about it.
That's what it says. It says the character you play in Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag. Yeah. Black Frag is Edward Kenway, the father of Haytham Kenway.
But what they could have done and let Desmond be dead is just follow a different lineage, a different assassin who had kids. And that's totally okay, too.
Like Henry Rollins.
Yes. Well, I mean, this is clearly supposed to be a spinoff that they put the four on. So,
I'm looking at a screenshot of, I guess, the assassin that you play in this new Assassin's Creed game, hanging off the side of a boat, like a sailboat, a big boat, pirate boat. And there's a whale, and I hope you get a mission to assassinate a whale.
Yes, there's whale killing.
All right.
I don't want
I didn't think it was a Japanese
senseless
game.
Senseless whale killing. I want like a targeted, like, you know, Ahab or whatever comes. He's like, you got to kill the white whale for
what
me.
If it?
Do you want there to be a whale going up beside the ship in a stormy sea, and you just jump on it with a harpoon?
Jump out of the. Maybe you kill it from the inside.
No, wait, what if it turns out like one of the secret assassin's techniques that was lost to time was whale riding? Like
what?
Like
like Dune?
Yeah, like Dune. Yeah, you like you hook onto there with a couple of harpoons, you just go out there and you assassinate somebody from atop your whale.
Japanese research vessels all work for the Templars.
Yeah.
Try to get rid of the whales so no one can ride them.
What about this? What if
it all ended in San Francisco with the Star Trek?
What if we toss a big old white hood on the whale and the whale is an assassin? And then we somehow tie it into Star Trek 2.
Star Trek.
I was going to say it would be, you know, Dishonored 2, but that works.
Yeah, that too. Was it Star Trek 2 with the whales?
It was Star Trek Voyage Home, which was 4, was the one with the whales.
Okay. Well, whichever Star Trek whales.
Star Trek 2 would be way better because that was the only good Star Trek. Suck it, Star Trek nerds. You only have one good movie.
Okay.
No, Star Trek 4 was good, but it was like a comedy episode of Star Trek.
Which was the one with the con?
Two.
That was Star Trek 2.
Okay, so this is a complete tangent, but I wanted to tell the story. There's this place called Genghis Grill that I took my parents to lunch there the other day, and all over the place it says, like, Khan's rules and Khan's, you know, menu for etiquette and stuff like that. And so the way they do this is the server gives you cards and writes your names on it, and you have to give the cards to the chef, and they bring you the food, you know, depending on whose name was on there. So the server asked me, okay, I need your guys' names. I said, Khan, K-H-A-N. And then she looks at me like this, come on, really? I was like, Khan, K-H-A-N. And then she gives me the biggest bitch eye roll. Like, she thinks I'm this uncooperative dick that's just giving her a fake name. So she just writes Khan 1, Khan 2, and Khan 3 there.
That's pretty bad.
At that point, you have to assume you're now in flirt status with the waitress because this is what happens. and you gotta like play along with the joke, turn to a joke, and pull out your wallet and show the ID and say, "No, really, my last name is Khan."
Or pay with like, a credit card and then on the receipt just write, "I told you so." Right.
Yeah. I did pay with the credit card and she gave it back to me without incident, so I assume she didn't actually look at the name.
No tip, and instead on the tip line, write, "I told you so," and then you'd show up on like, you know, Reddit or something, and everyone would hate you.
Asshole Khan doesn't give a tip at his own restaurant.
Yeah, I wasn't going to stiff her on the tip. It just, come on, don't be such a bitch about that.
You rephrase that first part of that sentence. Actually, on the tip.
I bought some headphone tips the other day from Amazon, and I was disappointed that nobody was around when I was ordering it or picking up the package, because I really wanted to say just the tips.
Tips.
That's terrible.
All right, what are we talking about? Assassin's Creed?
At some point, Assassin's Creed.
No, wait. I'm not off the name of the food place. So I was driving with a friend the other day, and I had a thought, and I was like, surely I can't be the first person to realize that there needs to be a place called Salvador Deli.
Oh, yeah.
There is indeed a place called Salvador Deli.
Yeah.
Is there?
Yeah. So, not a genius.
Is it really crazy, or is it just a normal deli?
I don't know. I haven't been there. I think it's in Canada, I want to say.
It's run by a guy named Salvador. He's not even aware of the humor.
Right. No, he's not aware of the, yeah. It's all right. One more thing about food places. In Rockville, where my parents live, where I went to high school in the last 2 years, there's a place called Pizza Oven that burnt down, and in its place, like
fire.
That was bare was Kebab Grill. So apparently, the formula for the names is name of food, way you prepare it, Pizza Oven, Kebab Grill. So I don't know what's next for that place when Kebab Grill burns down.
Applebee's Microwave.
Applebee's Microwave. There you go.
Taco Bell Horse Farm.
Talk about horse farm. I don't even horse bag. Horse meat fighter.
Corral. Talk about Taco Corral.
Also, all of the horses. So has anyone? I know Imran and I have been playing What's the full name, Imran?
Bit Trip Runner 2 something 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 something.
Legend of Rhythm Alien or something.
Yeah, that's it.
Apparently, this is super easy, and people are pissed off because it's now being casualized and babyfied.
What like the full name like in my fucking Steam library? Is BitTrip presents .. Runner 2 : Future Legend of Rhythm Alien.
Yeah.
Like that, it might be the same length, if not longer, than Reckless Disregard for Gravity.
I think what's cool about it is that Charles Martinet narrates everything.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. It's got a really nice presentation. And the game itself is really, really pretty. Everything is so smooth, and it's like little, you know, focused depth of field.
I've been playing it on my Wii U controller, so I can just sit in bed and play it. It's actually really nice to just, you know, have something on Netflix while I'm
Yeah. So, all right, who's eating chips?
Sorry, that was moving a box. My apologies. I wasn't eating anything. I was moving a box. My apologies.
Well, a box covered in outward-facing sticky tape?
It's a box of Oreo cookies. They do this thing where, this, where they put this fresh seal thing on it, and every time you move it, it's crinkly. My apologies. I didn't think it'd be that loud.
All right, so we need to add the Oreo cost when we calculate the per second fun for an episode of Freedom.
How did you spend $800,000 on Oreos?
Yeah. I really fucking like Oreos. I'm sorry.
No, they're delicious. No, it's really good. I mean, it's, I don't know. There's nothing really new. Yeah. I mean, it's the same formula, but I think that's what people were asking for. And the presentation is really nice. It's pretty, you know, there's new songs and beats. I don't know. I haven't noticed that it's any more or less forgiving than the first.
One, there's checkpoints, which you shouldn't use if you're going for high scores, which I never use, pretty much. If I accidentally hit a checkpoint, I immediately restart the level.
I haven't even been thinking about that. I'm just kind of playing through right now, because I know on the first runner, like, I did that where I'm like, oh, fuck, I died in a run through, I gotta get a perfect score, and this, I just kind of want to play through, I just want to enjoy it, I don't want to go mad.
I will skip over every checkpoint, and I will catch every piece of gold. If I don't do that, then I don't consider the level finished.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. At some point, though, I am going to get bitten by the little high score, you know, competing bug. So
yeah.
I'm sure.
It's sad that there's not like a global leaderboard for that.
Yeah, I was going to say, because now I can't compare scores with you. But I know Robin Van Gilder from the Jumpcast has been playing that on Steam. So I see his score on there, but I haven't bothered really kind of going through to try to beat it yet.
Yeah. I think the new art style is kind of neat, but I really wish it still had Meat Boy. Because he's in the intro.
Right.
And then he's separated out.
Hmm. Yeah. It does have all the kind of unlockable characters. But it's really charming. And you should buy it. It's $15. At least on Steam. I don't know how much it is on Wii U.
You can dress like Little Mac.
You can.
Which is kind of hilarious. Dog agrees.
Dogs. Yep.
Doggy approves of Little Mac.
Yep.
Dog. So yeah, that's pretty much, I don't think I've been playing much else that's new. No, I think I've given up on Alice Madness Returns.
How far did you get?
Probably not. I just started going around getting the Hatter's Arms. So okay. Not that far.
I'm pretty sure you're super early. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty early, but like I said, I just kind of felt like I was coasting through. I wasn't really being challenged at all. I wasn't being asked to think.
Yeah.
So I just kind of I lost interest.
The art is what keeps you going in that game. Like, if you don't like the art, then yeah.
No, I like the art, but
that just seems like such a huge waste of potential. You have the entire like Lewis Carroll universe, and what you do with it, you make an uninspired third person action game.
I would love.
You'd like it because it lampoons boss fights.
Okay.
I would love to see like an American McGee's Alice, you know, like this version of Alice as like an adventure game, like a point and click adventure game.
I want to see him do something that's not like a twisted version of a fairy tale.
Yeah.
Or if like he's going anything. Or if he's going to do a twisted fairy tale, at least make it into something interesting instead of like something that's a variation of an existing gameplay type that doesn't work out well as a twisted fairy tale.
Oh man.
Do a Robin Hood game that makes him a ninja. There you go.
Sure. Yeah.
There you go.
Robin
there you
ninja.
Go. Pay and run.
I'm actually coming up with all the game ideas tonight.
I have I come up with Assassin Wales, all right. so I have been playing Kentucky Route Zero, which I mentioned the game earlier, but I didn't really talk about it, which is an adventure game set in five acts. And it's a good adventure game. It's a good adventure game, and it's really fucking pretty. Like, that is some really nice art direction, and just kind of the way the camera moves in. Everything's really crisp and kind of looks like an active vector, if that makes any sense. If any of you guys have seen any of David O'Reilly's kind of videos, short videos, one of my favorites is, I think it's Don't Speak, might be called. Anyways, it's got this kind of, you know, you can always see like the pixely outlines of everything, even though everything's in kind of 3D. And this kind of feels like you're playing a David O'Reilly movie, which is really good. So it's pretty. And I guess the other acts are going to come out. But I recommend it if you have any inkling to like, you know, kind of narrative and adventure games, you should definitely grab it.
Looking at screenshots now, it kind of reminds me of the stuff from like, or the CG art for Route 66? I think it's called Route 66. That old LucasArts adventure game.
Interstate 76.
That's it.
No, that that was the car combat game. What are you thinking of? Full Throttle.
Full Throttle.
No, Full Throttle. It was like this kind of looking cell shaded thing.
Was it like a car combat game?
No, it was a point and click adventure.
Point and click adventure. I'm drawing a blank on it.
I'm almost positive you're thinking of Full Throttle, because it's the only one that would really fit for a LucasArts game. Let's Grim Fandango.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Well,
anyway, so like this
you
is,
might be right.
So this is $20. You get like all five episodes. Like, are you happy with this first episode, or do you? Because the thing that gets me about buying it right now is I can't really trust that company to stay around to put out all five episodes. Unlike, say, a Double Fine thing. Not Double Fine, but God, the guys who made
Double Fine. I am. Tales. Yes, I'm very happy with the first episode. Like, it ended, and I was going, oh, shit.
How adventure game is it? Is like super adventure game? Can you get into it if you're not?
No,
like,
it's I would. I mean, it's you don't have an inventory.
Okay. I'm going to assume it's a step above, like, The Walking Dead as far as adventure games, like, right? Or the same, like, complexity?
Yes. I mean, there's dialogue, and it's interesting. You kind of, you're kind of creating the story as you play a little bit. Like, as one of the very first encounters, you step out of this car and you've got a dog with you. Okay. And you walk up to this guy, this blind guy at this gas station, and you start talking to him, and he asks you about the dog. And you can say his name is Sam, or you can say her name is Sally, you can say the dog doesn't really matter, something like that. So there are things like that, where maybe you're asked something about your history, and you have different options about what your history is. Like, you can kind of create your history. So it's a little interesting like that. I mean, it's a step above as far as an adventure game goes, Walking Dead, but maybe a step below as far as, kind of customizing your story.
I was apparently getting a bunch of different games confused. It was Interstate 76, which is not a point-and-click game. It's a car combat game.
It is, right?
Then I don't know what I was thinking of, because it matches the art style I was thinking of, but not the game itself.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know.
I think he's on drugs.
Yeah, probably. So let's talk about Rising.
Let's talk about Rising.
Have you ever loved someone?
That's what you came to ask?
No, I mean, I was wondering if even soldiers fall in love.
Oh, sorry, I muted my mic because dogs are. I didn't even mute it, and then I kept talking.
So I finally got, I don't know how much we want to spoil about Rising, but finally beat the final boss of Rising. I think you did as well, Imran, who is super, super American, which in Platinum's term means the entire game is this weird, I don't want to say anti-American screed, but definitely an anti-Tea Party screed.
Yeah, that guy is sort of John McCain if he were, a supervillain.
Yeah, and full of nanites and basically the Red Hulk.
Yeah, like he literally becomes he becomes Colossus at the end of the game.
Yeah. Which like is
he turns metal.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird because they have to go through these weird contortions to get something that's not just another cyborg. So well, what's the thing beyond a cyborg? I guess in Metal Gear universe, that's actually nanites, which is weird because I'm pretty sure nanites showed up in Metal Gear Solid 4. But the nanites show up in this game that this guy is apparently composed entirely of nanites and just blows everybody's mind that he's using nanites. Like, I'm fairly positive we ran into that sort of thing.
I thought before. They shut that all off in Metal Gear Solid 4. Like, that was the point.
Yeah.
So,
I can't
maybe
remember.
That was,
Metal Gear Solid was too, it was too crazy and too far.
The thing is, like, with this game, you kind of have to understand that they had a year to make it.
Yeah.
And that explains a lot of what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
But also, it really makes it all the more impressive about what's good about it.
Yeah, it's a very, it's even more than competent. I mean, if you had to rank, it's unfair to rank this game with Bayonetta because it's a different sort of game.
I mean, I'd say if you compare it to Bayonetta, it falls short in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But it does a lot of cool things too. I would rank it probably, in terms of like fluidity of movement, it's probably one of the better action games of generation.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like, and just like, as far as enjoyability, as far as gameplay depth, I would definitely play this ahead of any God of War I've ever played.
And yeah, I play it above DMC.
Oh yeah, the current DMC.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't remember so much about DMC 3 if I put it in that same level or not.
I wouldn't, having just replayed that game. It's somewhere in that vague area, but I wouldn't say it's as good.
It's a weird sort of game, though, because it has, on one side, it wants to encourage you to stealth. And I think the only reason it encourages you to stealth is because it's a Metal Gear game.
Yep.
And they felt that it has to stealth. But,
well, the stealth is actually really broken.
Yeah, like, and it's a detriment to the game. Yeah,
you can't get graded on a lot of encounters. Because if you stealth people, they don't call in backups. And if you don't kill those backups, you don't get a combat grade.
And there's so many areas where you walk into a room and there's actually no way to stealth through it. And as soon as you cross the threshold, it triggers an alarm. And there's just no way of knowing that until you actually trigger the threshold. And you think, oh, well, I messed up the stealth section. Maybe I should restart. It's like, no, because there's one part where Raiden starts hearing the voices of all the people he's killed, of the people he's about to kill. And like he can't shut those voices off, and it's really screwing with him. So and your guys at HQ tell you, say, hey, don't fight anymore. If you fight, you're going to die. And you're wandering around and you're avoiding guys. But as soon as you enter the area where you're supposed to trigger the boss fight, you can't stealth through there. So yeah. Every time I go in there and I said, well, I can't win this fight. I got to restart because clearly I'm supposed to stealth through here. And I did like five times to realize, oh, wait, there's absolutely no way not to stealth through there.
Yeah, it's you just have to get beaten up until they change the cutscene.
Yeah, the game absolutely does not voice this at all.
Which really should have been a skippable part as a whole.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, doing that on replays because I want to just get to Monsoon. I want to see if I can beat him without taking damage.
Yeah.
But I got to go through this whole like 3-minute part of slashing my sword impotently at a couple of guards.
And basically just limping along. And I don't know how you were supposed to kill those guys and get S ranks. I mean, there's a couple guys you have to kill to get the S ranks there, right? At least two.
I don't think that part's graded.
Okay.
That would Monsoon make more sense. Himself is graded, which is hard enough as it is.
Yeah, I don't know how, because Monsoon, number one, I don't like boss fights, but platinum boss fights are different because they're usually very well designed, and I don't regret fighting. They're usually not a roadblock, except for the final one here, which I've figured out. I can't understand what you're supposed to do to Monsoon when he starts like the floating business, where you can't hit him with your sword at all, and he just completely dodges everything.
Use a sub weapon, and then you'll get the Zandatsu prompt. Then you hit his eye.
Wow, that's it.
Yep.
Jesus, stupid.
Especially if you're using the Psy. The Psy just completely breaks him. So on replays, that's easier.
You beat him. Because he's the guy who carries the Psy.
Yeah. So at the beginning, you pretty much have to use the pole arm.
Yeah. Which I didn't realize at that time. I was just kept on looking at him and like, God, this is doing nothing. This is screwed.
Then there's a part after that, I think it's after that, where you have to, you go into the railroads. It's pitch dark blackness. I'm like, who thought this was fun?
It is not fun at all. And of course, you have to beat those guys to get your ranking and the enemies they have in there. The other big thing that this game does, I'm fine with everything else, like the lack of polish aside. Stun locks in games need to go away. Anytime I'm sitting in a game and I feel helpless, you have failed as a developer. I should not sit there and just be compelled to put my controller down and wait for the sequence to play out.
The problem, I'm okay with stunlocks on harder difficulties. If you just want to get through the game, that shouldn't be there because you're not an expert yet.
Right.
Like, I'm playing on Revenge's mode now, and I see stunlocks as a perfectly viable thing to punish me for not parrying correctly.
Right, that makes perfect sense.
I don't know that timing the first time I'm playing through the game. I have no idea what the audio cue is for one of those mastiffs coming from behind me.
I don't think there is an audio cue. I think they did.
Yeah, that's another problem with the game. Yeah. It's one of those things I think Kamiya would have noticed if he were directing the game.
Yeah.
But he puts in audio cues for every enemy attack in case they're attacking from off camera.
I'm reminded of the one, it's called the Glorious, something Glorious.
Gracious and Glorious.
Glorious fights. And those were enormously difficult fights, but you always knew when Gracious or Glorious was coming up upon you.
Yeah.
And if you were good at crowd control, you can like push one off to the side and beat the crap out of the other one. In this one, if two of the big strong mastiff guys that can stun you get in you in the right cycle, you're screwed. You're not getting through that. There was one sequence when you're going up an elevator, and there's another thing this game does, it checkpoints. And you can't restart the level once you checkpoint it.
Yeah.
It'll only go back to that checkpoint.
It'll sometimes checkpoint in, like, graded sections. So if you've already been hit, you either need to immediately restart, or if it checkpoints too soon after that, you're screwed.
So you're not punished if you, like, just restart from the last checkpoint.
Then yeah. Unless, like, if you let's take the elevator for example. If you've gotten hit and then you go up a little bit and it already checkpoints again, yeah, then you can't go back before that.
But I can, like, if I'm get hit, I can immediately restart and it won't.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. That's good to know, because I had to restart like 15 times on the final boss battle because the open, like, his alpha strike is just horrendous.
Yeah.
Anyway, on the elevator, I was, because in this game you keep picking up like life items, and as soon as like you run out of life, you'll automatically recharge off your life items. It's kind of like a potion, and you can carry like 5 at a time. By the time I was at the top of this elevator, I had already run out of all my life potions, and it checkpointed right before then. So I had to take on what I consider the most difficult normal fight in the entire game using just one life bar. And there's these three flying assholes who come out just throwing rockets at you constantly. And if you kill them too early, you summon two of the Mastiffs. And if you get two of the Mastiffs and the Hammer Dude, then it's basically Stun City. You can't get out of that.
See, I was dreading that part because you told me you broke your PS3 controller because of it. I was like, okay, this is probably going to be really hard, but it wasn't. If you had a charged Psy, it made everything way easier.
Yeah.
You just need to use overdrive at that point.
You do, and it wouldn't have been nearly easy if I even just had one health item. I could blown through that. Because
actually,
many times I got to that and just died with like the last Mastiff hitting me.
I had a pretty cool moment where I'd run out of health packs by the time I got to the final boss, because that penultimate boss doesn't fuck around.
Yeah.
And so I had to get through that first part. I had to basically master fighting him until I could destroy the rocks.
Yes.
Because those gave out more health packs. So that first section, I always knew, okay, I got to run around these two because he's going to do that, then he's going to do it this, then he'll do an attack around him, then I got to combo him in the meantime. And, like, that was actually really cool, and it could not have been more perfect if it was written that way.
Right. That rock section was the biggest choke point for me until I realized, I don't know exactly what it was, but until I realized you can actually just take your time and aim for the rocks.
Yeah. Like you can. I think I realized around Sundowner, which is another fight where you have to actually aim your sword slashes, that if you just let go of the stick, he just loses the sword. It's like, wow, that makes things much easier, because I think I was like missing, because it would re-aim when I moved the stick.
You kept trying to draw it like in Okami or something.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was doing, and I can't believe it took me that long to figure it out.
Yeah. But that was another great boss fight in the Sundown. The thing Platinum does very well, the boss fights are very simple. They're like 16-bit pattern recognition. But as soon as you realize what you need to do, you can do it, and you feel empowered by doing it. And it's like the opposite of virtually everyone else who does their boss fights, who just change the rules in the middle of doing their boss fight.
The escalation in the boss fight is probably the best in an action game I've ever seen. Like, yeah, the very first fight against Mistral, when you're fighting her on the tanker, it's like, okay, this is kind of cool. Then she throws you on the pipe.
Yeah.
And that's pretty neat, and you're fighting her off there. Then you drop down to the big oil rig area, and then the lyrics pump into the music, and that's like, wow, this is way better than any escalation that Bayonetta or Devil May Cry has done.
Yeah. The one thing that did disappoint me about that was there was no lead-up for any of the guys in Desperado. It's like, yeah, we showed because like in Metal Gear Solid 3, like there was this huge arc with all of like the members of Fox, or whatever the name of that team. Was it Fox team? Cobra Unit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's like huge build-up, but like, in this game, they show you off Mistral, and 5 minutes later, you've killed Mistral. So let's. They show off Monsoon, and 5 minutes later, you've killed Monsoon, and they're never coming again.
Yeah, which I prefer to. I mean, I prefer MGS3's thing, but I prefer it to MGS4's, where every character or every boss had a 5-minute monologue afterwards, and they told you about how they animals killed their family, except it wasn't animals, it was them.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that's kind of boring after the 9th time you do it.
We get it. Humans are animals.
Yeah, but overall, I really like Rising, and I'll probably... there's the Lightning God achievement, which I think I'm going to be crazy for actually trying, but...
It seems dumb. Like, S-rank... Yeah. No.
S-rank everything on the hardest difficulty, but I feel like, why not? I got time.
Now, does it screw with the rules like Nonstop Infinite Climax and Bayonetta, or is it just the same rule set?
It screws with the rules a little bit, but I'm not sure it's intentional. because there's a the latest patch made it so you can't get no damage bonuses on a lot of things. So but if you delete that patch, you can. So I don't know if it's just a glitch or whatever.
All right. So
all right.
That's a vigilance, and apparently there's a baby alert in the Belita household.
No. There's no alert.
Baby's down.
I just don't give a fuck about Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
You used to.
No, I do. I'm just kidding. I do.
All right.
Then
I guess, Matt, what have you been playing?
Same old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Gotta make some more time. Gotta do my IBC.
Yep. Gotta play some, like I said, like Black Tiger. You'll play it for an hour and get everything you need out of Black Tiger.
Actually, I found out that game is on WiiWare, like old. On the Wii WiiWare, which is good because I have credits still locked in that don't transfer to the Wii U.
Also, I'm pretty sure it's free on PSN.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that might be cheaper than WiiWare then.
Yes.
Browser, I thought I saw somewhere.
Eh, interesting.
Good God.
Yeah, there's a job.
I'm sitting here thinking, oh, good, I could use up those credits I can't use on anything else, and then it's free everywhere else.
All right.
Oh, well, what
dogs. Dogs.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.